what is church? Like, how would you define church? Is the local church something that, as Christians, we have to participate in? Should church be more fun? What is church? Like, how would you define church?
First off, man, I want to say thanks for bringing me on here to this podcast. It's a blessing, bro, every time to just come together and to converse about Christ and the church. And it's an even bigger blessing, bro, that this time you allow my wife to join me.
I'm blessed with the opportunity.
One and only Cassidy Noel Pitts.
There we go.
So grateful to be here for sure, bro. But when you ask, what is a church? It's a huge and important question. And before we really answer what is a church, it's important to establish what the church is biblically. The word church, whenever you see it in the New Testament, comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which means those who were called out. When the Bible says the word church, it means those who were called out to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the church is not a building or organization. Rather, it's the body and the bride of Christ. Those are the illustrations and pictures that the New Testament uses for the church. And the bride of Christ, Jesus Christ, is the head of the church, or the bridegroom of the church, and the church is his body. So the church belongs to Christ, and the church is built up by Jesus Christ. To put it another way, because I just said a lot, the church is the covenant people of God, those who belong to Christ. The church also, according to 1 Timothy 3, is the pillar and support of God's truth in this world. Ephesians 2 says the church is the household of God, the family of God, built upon the foundation of the prophets, Old Testament, and the apostles, New Testament, and the cornerstone of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply put, the church is the assembly of those redeemed by Jesus Christ, saved by God's grace through faith in Christ, called to glorify God together in this world. And it's important to say that the church is not a museum of perfect people. It's more like a hospital of broken people who trust the great physician in Jesus. It's the gathered people of Christ who recognize they need Jesus together.
Okay, so then with that being said, right? So it sounds like we have the church, which is the group, just everyone who believes in. So like believers, it's in general, just like anybody who believes. Okay, and then you have like the churches.
Yeah.
And that's so, but what you just described, you didn't even bring up churches at all. So church, so when we see like buildings, or we see when we see church organizations, that's not the church that the Bible describes, is what you're saying.
No, you picked up on an important distinction. And that distinction is the universal church and the local church. I was describing initially, just when the Bible sets forth the church, the pillar and support of the truth, the body and the bride of Christ, that's the universal church, which is all believers from all nations, from all time, since the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. This is the invisible universal church. That's like when people say, we are the church. That's the positional reality. That's the universal church, all people from all time. But the practical reality of the universal invisible church, the practical reality is the local church. That's what your question's getting at when you say, what is a church? And the local church is the gathered, the practical, visible, gathered assembly of the Lord's people who come together for worship and the preaching of the word, the practicing of the ordinances, ordinances meaning the things that Jesus ordained the church for the church to do, like baptism and communion. So the local church is the gathering of the Lord's people who come together for worship, the preaching of the word, practicing of ordinances, edifying fellowship, in church discipline when necessary, which usually happens in a building of some sort. You know what I'm saying? So there's a difference between the universal church and the local church. The universal invisible church is the church all time, all people, all nations, which visibly has its expression in local churches.
So if the church at large is all believers, I get that. I think that that's like easy to kind of understand. But then when it comes down to the local church, what do you think the local church should be?
Yeah, I think the local church needs to be what the Bible says it needs to be. And I want to emphasize again that the universal church is the church from all time, all people, all believers. And people often say, we are the church. And yes, that's true. That's the positional reality of Christians. We are the church. But that positional reality needs a practical expression. And that practical expression is the local church. And the local church needs to look like the gathered assembly of the Lord's people who come together for worship, the preaching of the word, baptism, communion, edifying fellowship, practicing all the one another's of scripture, love one another, forgive one another, the discipleship and those things, church discipline when necessary. And the local church, in order to really be a local church, needs to have qualified pastors, the consistent practice of baptism with new believers and taking of the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine, or the grape juice, you know what I'm saying? edifying fellowship, meaning discipleship going on, equipping one another, encouraging one another, and then church discipline when necessary if a member is sinning.
Okay, so a couple of things. So when you say, so the local church is not something that like we as humans made. So the Bible says the local church is something that needs to happen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think that we can make it so much easier if we just adhere to what scripture says, because he's given us the blueprint of the church and how to work inside of the church and how to gather and all those things. He's given us a blueprint.
So then is there like formal rules then? So like Paul just said, okay, there needs to be like baptism, there needs to be preaching, there needs to be this. So let's say there's like a building that doesn't have baptism happening per se, but let's say, a small group of like millennials or something like meets up every so often. Is that church too? Or I guess maybe a bigger question here is the local church something that as Christians we have to participate in? Like, is that something that we have to do? Because a lot of people right now are saying, yo, like, I'm a believer, but I don't go to church like that. I have found my own system of connecting with God. I'll read my Bible in the mornings. I'll download the Bible app. I have my little small groups that I do, and I have friends who are believers, and we kind of connect. Is someone who kind of like stands within that space okay? Or would you, and I know there's not like everybody's situation is a little different, but I'm interested to hear your perspective on like, is like the local church that we see today something that like was maybe highly recommended to participate in?
Yeah, being a part of, a member of a solid local church is not a matter of preference, a matter of convenience. It's a matter of obedience. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 10 verses 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works." Verse 25, "not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, and is still today, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So being a member of a local church daily, walking together with Christ with other believers and gathering on a weekly basis for the preaching of the word and fellowship of the saints and worshiping God, that is commanded of Christians in scripture. And there's really no way to talk about what a Christian is biblically without getting to the local church, because being a member of a local church is just a Christian being what they already are, a member of the body of Christ.
So, okay, got it. So then with that being said, is it safe to say then the meeting of Christians is church?
No. There's a difference between fellowship with Christians in the gathering of the local church.
Right, but what's the difference?
Because it's been set apart and specified in scripture. I think a better way to put it, as opposed to saying, is it mandatory to go to church?
Okay.
As like a work, it's more of just an overflow of true Christianity. So it's kind of weird that people say, and a lot of people have to learn this. I had to learn it. I think I would have classified myself the same way. Like, I'm a Christian, but I wasn't anti-church. I didn't know what I didn't know about what the Bible says about church. I didn't know how to study that. or how to practically walk it out. But it's kind of weird that people would say, I have my own thing with God and I read the Bible, but then by not going to church, you're rejecting a lot of what the Bible is saying. Yeah.
To say that I read the Bible on my own and then you conclude I don't need to go to church shows you ain't reading.
The book of Ephesians, and then
that's written to churches, Ephesians, Romans, 1 Corinthians. There's no such thing in the first century church as a Christian following Jesus absent from the local gathering of the church together. Christianity is not just about a relationship with Jesus. It's about relationships with the Lord Jesus and his church. And to be a part of a local church is just a visible expression of your commitment to Christ through a commitment to his body.
So, okay. So then it's not like a qualifier of being a Christian, but it's something that what I'm getting is like, you should probably, if you are really kind of like a Christian, I guess you could say, which sounds a little crazy, but if you really are a Christian, you would probably find yourself in a church situation.
Yeah.
Amen. Fish are in water. Christians are members of the local church, make up the church. And if a believer has no desire to fellowship, to gather, to worship, to sit under the preaching of the word, to walk with other believers, I think they really need to examine if they've come to Christ in any true way and understand the gospel.
Okay, so big questions. Okay, so for one, I think just to clarify, what is the difference then? So like between meeting up and just what's the difference between, let's say, a small group of people who meet up to talk about God and church formally?
I was thinking about this earlier, and a church isn't like an organization or just a group of people in a way, because anything and everything that is like a hobby or an idea or a group of people with like a shared interest, whatever it is, can meet together and form an organization or a just group. A gathering or a group, and that can be sufficient to, I don't know, fulfill their need of that in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But the church is and should be entirely set apart from the world because we all possess something that the world cannot give.
And the difference between just Christian fellowship and the formal gathering of a local church is this: fellowship is just enjoying the gospel together, reflecting the Lord Jesus to each other, following Christ together. The local church gathering is when a body of qualified pastors who are leading this gathered group of believers and called by God to do so, preach the word of God. There's worship of God, and there's the practice of ordinances, baptism for new believers, and the partaking of the Lord's Supper with believers on a consistent basis, edifying fellowship, the context to practice the one another's of scripture, and then church discipline where it's necessary.
So what I'm getting is like, the difference between, let's say, just like a small group of people or a big group, just a difference between just grouping up together about God and having church is the, I guess like the formal leadership behind it. And like those who kind of are qualified to speak on or lead and usher in people into the faith. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's a huge proponent of it.
No, and I do see the difference though. Like, cause if let's say I think we talked about this before. If I were to like be studying biology with my classmates, it's different than being in class being taught biology that we're then gonna take away and study. So it sounds like there's like a need to kind of like put yourself under some form of like a leadership.
Submission to leadership
mm-hmm. to kind of,
Because let's just think about this. Pastors is a word that all it means is shepherds. It's a metaphor. It's shepherds who take care of sheep. And the church being the believers, the assembly of the redeemed, those that belong to Jesus, those have been saved by the Lord Jesus, those are his sheep. Jesus is the chief shepherd, and pastors are under shepherds that are to steward the sheep of the Lord Jesus by feeding them.
That trickles down.
So then is somebody wrong for like, you know what? I am not feeling these lower authorities. I'm just connecting straight to the top authority. And I just don't want to go to church.
It's disobedient to the top authority.
Really?
Jesus is Lord, and he has given us his church for us to follow him together with other believers under the leadership of pastors.
Okay.
I think that person would just have to be honest and say that they, it's not that they have a problem with the church and or a local church, because they might have never seen a biblical one and a good one and a healthy one.
Yeah, that's
they
what
just don't want to submit to authority. They want, they don't want anyone knowing them like that, and they don't want anyone like telling them what to do. And so it's disguised as this like, oh no, I just go straight to God. But submitting to elders biblically is a reflection of your submission to the King Jesus.
Amen.
And he has commanded us to do so.
Amen. And pastors are shepherds. Shepherds care for your soul. Pastoring is not like a mechanic that they just try to fix people. Pastoring is way more like gardening, tending people's souls, helping them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ by way of preaching the word, giving them, feeding their souls with the word of the Lord, and overseeing fellowship and discipleship amidst the body, giving the visible pictures of the gospel in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, and then practicing church discipline when a believer is living in unrepentant sin. That requires a formal body that has pastors, deacons, and members who are committed by way of a covenant to follow Jesus together. That's what we need, man. We can't follow Jesus on our own. Then we become our own authorities, and then we just judge the Bible how we want to. Christianity is not meant to be done alone. It's meant to be done in the context of covenant committed believers. And that's only in the local church.
I can't even lie. Like, I mean, I think that like, that does make sense to me that it, like, if you are someone who like has said, you know what, I'm a believer in Christ, I think you would find yourself like trying to pursue others who are maybe farther along in their walk, who can help you and try to connect with people who are also believers so that you can encourage each other, help each other work through thoughts and work through life.
And you'd want to hear the preached word.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and you should want to sit under those who have been called by God to care for your soul. You know what I'm saying?
And I do think that like just makes sense. Like if I'm interested in golf, like I'm, or any sport or whatever, I'm going to find myself under, hey, you know, I'm going to find myself around other golfers. I'm going to find myself around like people who can teach me things I didn't know about.
Athletes want a good team and they want good coaches.
Exactly. So like that does make sense to me. But then I have to say then the current structure. So like I see the components of it. So I see the components under leadership, finding yourself in community, finding yourself an opportunity to like do spiritual practices, communion, baptism. I see the components, but then when looking at the components, I'm wondering if the reason why church isn't resonating with people is the means at which those components are delivered today. And I'm wondering does the church need to change or pivot or innovate in the way that they deliver these components? Like if you look at like the education system, like it started the intention is to make sure that the next generation is educated on important information so that they can succeed in adulthood. And I'm looking at the church as, okay, when looking at education, it hasn't changed a lot. So now people are complaining, yo, the education system needs to change because it's not necessarily serving today's needs. And I'm wondering, is the problem not the components of what the church, the local church should be, but is the problem then the means at which it's being given to us?
It's a great question. And I'll say this, and I think my wife has some great things to say too, but I'll say this, the church of the Lord Jesus does not need renovation. The church needs reformation. We need to go back to what God's word says about being the church, about preaching his word, about caring for souls, about discipling Christians, about loving one another and helping one another to grow in Christ, to endure suffering, to worship God together. We don't need renovation. We need reformation. And the goal shouldn't be innovation, to do anything new. The goal is to go back to what we know to be true, being God's word, because we're not, the church doesn't operate by way of research on what's going on now. We operate by way of obedience to God's revelation, which is true for all time. The Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. The problems we have in our context today may seem new, but they all have the same basic components and issues, and it all boils down to sin and things like that. So we need to go back to the gospel. We need to go back to the truth, and the church needs to operate biblically. We try to come up with all this stuff, and then it's trash. So then, but that's because we ain't doing it God's way.
So then what does going back to that look like? So like if you were to look at the church today, because right now, right, I think where my heart falls for a certain group of people are the people, like the people who literally just like don't resonate with like the way the church is delivered. It may be, you know, bad experiences. They ran into the wrong church, or they may be misinformed or whatever. But I do think that there's a large group of people that like may just never find themselves like in a church building the way it's structured now. And I'm just wondering, like, what does getting back to being biblical look like? So that if we need, because that sounds like a pivot that needs to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would, how you were saying in the beginning and framing it like how the education system hasn't changed, as if to say also like, well, does the church need to change because it hasn't in X, Y, and Z? Yeah. I would actually propose that it's continuously been, especially in America, changed to meet and just kind of altered to meet the needs of, or to meet desires of people. Like that's where you get the prosperity gospel from. It's, and seeker friendly, like we were talking before we started this conversation, we were talking about topical preaching and how it takes just topics and uses the Bible kind of barely, but it lacks a lot of Christ, and it doesn't necessarily replicate church the way that, and the preaching of the word the way that we would see it in scripture. And so what I would propose is that it's actually continuously and ever changing to a fault. And what we need to do in order to improve, if we want to talk about improving the church, I agree with Paul, it needs to go back to how it is laid out in the Bible, and to model after healthy churches. Because there are a lot, even though most people would say, I don't like how church is being, you know, I don't like it. And are we surprised after what we just talked about with the topical preaching and all this stuff? It doesn't give you any food.
Yeah. And I'd be curious to see a lot of people who say they don't like church. I'd want to ask the question.
Have you been in a good one?
Have you been to a healthy church?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you been to a church that's actually trying to apply God's word, that has a philosophy of ministry, an approach to ministry that's biblical, that's gospel-centered, that proclaims Christ, that sets Christ forth to the believer so they can become more like Jesus, that sets forth Christ so that unbelievers can come to know him? Has the church you've been to, is it actually biblical? And that's the question.
And there's probably a biblical healthy church in every county, a city, town, area. We're only familiar at large, like from your perspective, familiar with just kind of American Christianity, where it's just lights and a topical message and
churches and kind of like an
encouraging talk, and then you walk away and you're like, well, this isn't, we shouldn't be surprised that it's not sitting with people, because it's not, it shouldn't be, like it contradicts scripture. You know what I'm saying? Like if what you're looking for is food and you keep going to places that's not giving you it,
and it's just giving you candy,
why are we surprised?
You know what I'm saying? Like people, I tell you what, there's a lot of churches that have a seeker friendly philosophy of ministry. And what that means is they want to go to non-Christians all around their city and say, what would you like in a church? But if you are basing the formal gathering of the people of God, the covenant people that belong to Jesus Christ, you're basing it upon those who don't even know Christ, why would it be anything fruitful for a Christian?
Well, okay, so a couple of things. So, one, we got to get down to this. So then, what it was like the OG church then, right? So like, if we're going back to the Bible, if we're going back to the Word. What did the original churches look like? What were they doing?
So in Acts chapter 2, you see the day of Pentecost, and that's the birthday of the church, if you will, in a real formal sense. And that's when the Lord Jesus, he had already ascended, sent the Holy Spirit down. The apostles are filled with the Holy Spirit. The apostle Peter preaches the gospel, and 3,000 people come to faith. And then it says this, speaking of the early church in Acts 2, 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is just the word of God that we have contained in the New Testament. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the breaking of bread, which is communion, the Lord's table, and the prayers. So in a real basic sense, the church should look like the body of Christ, which includes pastors, deacons, and church members devoting themselves to the word of God, the teaching of the apostles and the teaching of the word in the New Testament and the Old Testament, a devotion to prayer, a devotion to worship, a devotion to the ordinances, baptism for new believers, and communion and fellowship, gospel fellowship, discipleship, giving opportunity for the one another's to be applied, loving one another, encouraging one another, all of this is that simple. Preaching the word, singing the word, praying the word, responding to the word, obeying the word, worshiping God, following Christ. That's what the church is about.
Okay. So I see what you're saying. So, okay. On one end, I see what you're saying. So then, based on everything that you guys are breaking down, it seems as if the problem, the reason why we see a lot of people who don't like church is not the fact that church is the problem, but there may not be as many real good churches that we like. Well, they may, to your point, there probably is.
They may not know how to find it.
They may not know how to find it.
Which is valid. They would just need to look and ask people.
Look, because I like how you said that too. Like, yo, like you could probably find one in your county. Like, mm-hmm. It's not like they're like.
County is a little big. I meant like.
10-mile radius. and that's real, because there probably is like a quality church nearby.
Amen.
And a lot of times when you hear people say, oh, like, I don't like church, a lot of times it's like, have you really, like, are you just saying that as like, like an answer off your hip, or have you actually really been in church, seeing what it's about, and everything like that? So then, okay, do you think that churches should, like, could change their approach to, like, bring in more people, though? Because whatever we say, we can sit here and talk about it all day, but at the end of the day, there's still a large group of people, right, who are literally just like, just not like it. Church is just not appealing. You know what I mean? And it's like, what do you think the solution to that is?
I have a couple theories. Talking about Christians or bringing in non-believers to hear the gospel?
Bringing in non-believers. So like, okay. When trying to bring in non-believers, because you guys mentioned how the church is not only there to, of course, fellowship amongst believers, but it's also there to be the salt to the world. So not just the salty.
Yeah. We gather to worship and we scatter to bear witness to Christ in the gospel.
That's an interesting point. So then would you say that, okay, so like, would you say the most effective way for like to bring more people in as believers is to fire up those who are in the church, those who do believe, and then have them go to their respective industries or places and then inspire those through just living life? So like, if I'm a mechanic and I go to Paul's church, and at Paul's church, you have preached to me amazing word, I go back to my other mechanics, and I'm just, you know, being the light in that room. By me being the light in that room, I'm then in a sense kind of like recruiting, I guess you could say.
Well, I think they're going to notice something about you, that you have a light and a joy and a peace that the world cannot give, and they're probably going to ask, or even just in forming relationships intentionally, they're going to know about you, and they're going to know that you go to church. And if they ask why, the Bible says to be able to give reason. And I think just naturally, if you love the Lord and you love his people, you'll naturally be able to give reason as to why you go to church, and then you would extend an invitation. And if they did come, it's not about what the church can do for them and how it attracts them, because that's not what's going to win their heart. They're going to They're going to be won by Christ by the hearing of his word.
The idea is, and what it should be, is a beautiful thing. You know, like people fall in love with Jesus. They become better people. They inspire others to do the same. But then when you look at like...
I would say more than better people, they become new people.
New people, 100%. And then, so with that, right? Amazing. But then it's like, okay, should church be more fun? Should it be more entertaining? Should it be something that like, you know, like draws, for instance, right? Like nobody looks at like school as fun. You know what I mean? But it's like, I know I should do it. Right. Mm-hmm. But when, so it's like when school, so it's like the primary purpose of school is education. And if it's fun, cool. But if it's not, it is what it is. Right.
I have a couple.
And I guess when I look at the church, it's like, it's not respected amongst like the world, like let's say education is. So to get the world to just say, hey, this is just something that like is mandatory. It's not going to be something that happens mm-hmm. easily, right? So then it's like, shouldn't we kind of like adjust church so that it's like, well, I know I just thought that word adjust, you like, no. But I'm like, shouldn't we adjust church to a certain degree so that it's like something that people are naturally kind of like excited to do?
Here's the thing. How can we expect the world to elevate and I guess respect the church as a whole when Jesus had said the world is going to hate you and the world hated because the world hated me?
And I'll say this too, when it comes to the church appealing to the world, what you win them with is what you'll have to keep them with. So if a church goes out and they just want to entertain unbelievers, they're going to have to always entertain them, even if they profess to now believe. The primary purpose of the gathering of the church is to worship God, is to please God, and to worship him in spirit and truth.
Mm.
So our gathering, it's a matter of obedience and worship. And for the believer, when you come together and you set forth the glory of God in the proclamation of his word, you set forth the glory of God in singing of gospel truths and songs, that's way better than entertainment. That is edifying and encouraging your soul. It's deeper than that.
Mm.
It's encouragement at a soul level. And it's not just encouragement, but it's soul food. Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You come to church to be fed spiritually, and you're fed the meat and the water of life from the scriptures, not the junk food of just whatever. You know what I'm saying? So no, the goal of the church is not to entertain, especially to entertain those who don't even know Christ. It's to worship God and to edify the believers so that we come away with a real joy in knowledge of Christ. Life is deeper than entertainment and fun. And that's not going to sustain you when you get that diagnosis. That's not going to sustain you when you're in the face of temptation. That's not going to sustain you in the despair of recognizing your sin before a holy God. You need the truth of the gospel, the glory of Christ, real brothers and sisters who are rallying around you to help you to persevere in following Christ. The church is so much deeper than fun.
So if you say, what can we do to bring in more unbelievers? There's obviously going to be, you know, evangelistic events and tactics, but what's going to save an unbeliever is the gospel.
Amen.
And unbelievers hate the things of God. So no matter what you do, make it entertaining, make it fun. If they walk away and they're not, like their soul doesn't end up getting saved, maybe not that day, but they're not hearing Christ as he has set himself forth in his word, you're just pulling your hair out, trying to make a path wide that is always going to be narrow.
That's facts, baby girl. Man. And this, and let me say this. The world can give you fun. The world can give you entertainment. You know what the world can't give you? The good news of great joy of salvation through Jesus Christ who saves sinners. You know what the world can't give you? Knowledge of God through the word of God. You know what the world can't give you? Taking your dead soul and giving it life through the word of life of the scriptures. You know what the world can't give you? The all-sufficient, glorious, boundless in beauty, Lord Jesus. You know what the world can't give you? The Spirit of God working through his word. So the world can give you entertainment and fun. Whenever the church tries to do that, there's always a better option in the world. But what the world can't give is the truth of the scriptures, is the glory of God, is the person of Christ, and the work of the Spirit, and the union of the saints, the unity of the saints in Christ Jesus, like nothing else. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, and for the believer, like we're talking about bringing in non-believers, but then why church, like what about, should church be fun for the believer?
Yeah.
And I think that as a true believer who loves the Lord Jesus, it's not necessarily going to be unfun. Like, it doesn't have to, like, when you're talking about church, to cut out fun for the purpose, like, we're going to be so set apart that it's boring. Like, that, I don't think that, mm-hmm. I think that the overflow of your heart is going to be captivation, but that's in a different category than fun that you get from playing like paintball or something.
Yeah, please understand, yeah, that makes sense. You know, when I'm speaking of this reverence and the depth of the beauty of the ministry of the church, I'm not saying in any way it should be boring. It is soul captivating. It is joy that reaches into eternity because it's the good news of the gospel. Yeah. It's the glorious Lord Jesus. So it's beyond fun, but you do walk away fulfilled, satisfied, elated,
and with looking such forward to it again.
Deep relationships and joy.
Let me ask you this: if you had a really close family and you're all dispersed, and you're just so looking forward to reuniting in like a family reunion, do you have to do something super fun when you guys get together, or is it just the fact that you longed to be together and you're finally in like that relationship and physically together and talking and hugging and all that stuff? Isn't that satisfying enough?
No, man, to be honest, like when you were talking, I was just thinking about the same thing, you know, like it's like, okay, yeah, fun and entertainment is cool, but it is to a certain degree when it comes to like the aspects of life, it is somewhat shallow.
A movie is only like 2 hours.
Exactly. And it's like, there's so much substance in like having your soul connect with God. There's so much, you know what I mean? Come on. It's like, it's so much deeper than just, you know, having fun. And there's things outside of being entertaining that draw us to certain things. You know what I mean? Like to your point with family, I love that example because it's like, yo, like, you're not gonna, there's emotional needs, there's like spiritual needs that we have as humans that are met not through like dance and entertainment, but they're met through like connection. Deep connection.
Do you have any siblings?
Yeah.
So if one of your siblings had a child and that's your niece or nephew, and you're going to see him for the first time, you don't think, man, I really hope this is an entertaining time.
Yeah.
No, there's something deeply relational happening that satisfies and grips the soul in such a way that it's beyond entertainment, like you're going to Knott's Berry Farm. It is a memory that you can never forget. It's a moment that reaches beyond that moment. How much more when we are engaging with the Lord Jesus in his presence, together with brothers and sisters who you'll be with for all eternity in worship. Man, I tell you what, it's been said that when Christ is magnified, our souls are satisfied. And in all entertainment, that's what we're looking for, some type of satisfaction. We are made for Christ. He gives joy more than anything else and life more abundantly. So the question of entertainment and fun when it comes to church, it's like, yeah, there's a sense in which it can be that.
And we do fun things with members of our church. We are always having fun.
Yeah.
And we love to have fun. So we're not like downing, you know, fun and entertainment. We're just saying that it's in a different category when it comes to the gathering of the body. And he's preaching through Philippians right now. And we just talked about this in chapter 4. But Paul tells the church members at Philippi, the Apostle Paul, and he says that he loves and longs for them, because he's writing to them from afar, because he was taken away from them and imprisoned. He says, you whom I love and long for, do this, this, and this. Rejoice in the Lord and stand firm. And if it's boring to you, actually, our pastor John MacArthur just talked about this, I think last week. If it's boring to you to worship God and be with his people and to set your minds on things above, your affections and your desires are just kind of entangled in worldly things and comforts and pleasures, and heaven is actually going to be disappointing to you.
Woo! Come on.
Man, hearing this is definitely challenging my thoughts right now, you know what I mean? Because I'm like, man, like, I definitely see what you're saying, you know what I mean? Like, I love the families. I don't connect with fam. Imagine how it would sound if it's like, yo, like, I mean, I may connect with my family, but if it's not fun, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I haven't seen you in 5 years, but
Thanksgiving was cool, but I really was entertained.
It was
by
so
my,
boring.
Like, what?
But then on another end, it will be also like, for this to work the way it needs to, it would then need people to truly be changed by God's word.
Wow.
Yeah, biblical. No, 100%. But when I say that, I'm saying that because, like, there's people that you meet that, like, go to church, you know, like, are Christian. But when you meet, you know, it's hard to kind of, like, see, oh, like, I don't necessarily see how your life has changed from connecting with God. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that because it's, like, hard to identify that, it's like the entertainment makes it like a little more easy to kind of like bring me in. If like I'm not seeing those overt like differences amongst like those who are believers. So it's like, it just really would take like true change amongst like those who are believers for the outsiders to be able to really identify, okay, you know what? Like, dang, these people really are like better because of that, their experience with Jesus.
Bro, that's absolutely true. And you're putting forth a very biblical, like a very, you're like speaking what the Bible says is true about Christians in the church.
And that's why the Bible says when it comes to salvation, you must be born again. It's not just a decision. It's regeneration. You're made new. We should do ministry as the church in such a way that people say, for that to work, it's going to require something supernatural, because it does the work of the Holy Spirit through the word and amongst God's people.
No, I genuinely think, right, like if people really knew, oh, like believers really do like love differently and better. Believers really do are united and like support each other. Like, I think if people, like, there's so much lack of community right now. There's so much lack of like genuine support. There's so much anxiety. There's so much stress. There's so much lack of peace that I think if people genuinely knew, oh, this isn't just for like a ritual. This isn't just for something that, like, you know, like their parents did it and they do it too because their parents did. This is something that like they're doing because it genuinely changes them. I think that it would have an effect. And now that we're really talking, I'm realizing that like leaning on the entertainment and leaning on the fun is almost trying to like cheaply bring people in versus like, yes, just get down into the real depths of like what's really going on here.
People may want certain things, but what they need is the gospel.
Man,
it's the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ who saves hell deserving sinners like us by grace.
And I think that like if, and this is just my personal thoughts, I just think that then we need more people to really, really, really be saved for real. Mm. You know what I mean? And not go to church because it's just something that they do, something that they use to mask their like their life pain, or something that they do as, you know, just like a ritual in their life. But it's, you know, like I think that people kind of, because I don't think the world, I know actually, I think I could probably kind of say like the majority doesn't believe that. Like, I don't think the majority of people look at like Christians or like going to church like, man, like that is something that like really changes like who the depths of who you are. I think at best
until you're in it,
until you're in it.
You're right in saying most of the world, and I think that's always going to be true, but in our context, just uniquely, I'm happen to be like a pastor's wife. I know that there are a ton of biblical, healthy, functioning, like flourishing churches that like the way you're responding, it almost sounds like it sounds too good to be true. And we are here to vouch, like, no, it's not too good to be true. Like, the fullness of God is reflected in his church, in his body, in Christ's body.
And that's because Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Everything else in this world could fall apart and be done. If a world war comes, pandemic rolls on. But you know what will never be defeated? The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, he builds it. He sustains it. We will go on forever with him.
So is it like a marketing thing? Like, because okay, right? So then let's say, right, your majority of those in church truly are changed. Why then is there a gap between, like, that being what's happening within the church and the people outside of the church not seeing, like, the value in church itself? Like, because there is that gap right now. You know what I mean? I at least would say with a lot of people, there is a gap of, like, hey, I don't see the real purpose. At most, I think you might improve your moral system from going there, but I don't know if it really changes who you are. Or am I off here?
I think that we hear what you're saying, definitely. I would ask again, if you're talking about an unbeliever, you're saying, how do we close that gap? And I would just go back to saying what I said before, unbelievers are always going to hate the things of God until they are convicted by the gospel. So that's just inviting them and having intentional relationships. In terms of bridging the gap for believers who say, I'm just not really that convinced, I would say, have you experienced it? And are you saying that you just haven't seen good enough marketing? You just haven't heard good enough, you know, fluffy sermons that make you feel good? Or have you just not experienced a good, healthy church?
And we have to acknowledge,
I say
too,
that lovingly. I want people to be in what we experience.
I think what you said is great, Cass. And I think too, we have to acknowledge that we live in a culture of individualism. We don't live in a collective society. By and large, people care way more about the name on the back of the jersey than the front. So it's individualism. There's an anti-authority.
It's only going to keep getting in our world more that way.
People are sinners. I say that knowing I am a sinner too, in need of the grace of God. So I'm not saying that. And two, just there's a difference between healthy churches in unhealthy churches that are striving to obey what God's word says, how we are to function and to go about following Jesus together. And, you know, unfortunately, there's some preaching that's not great in the world, and it's not biblical, and it's not consistent with how God's word says to do it. There's misunderstandings of the gospel, that it's just, I make this decision and it's just me and Jesus. Rather than I repent and believe upon Christ, and now I have been saved into the body of Christ. And now I need to practically show that by committing to a church and following Christ together with unbelievers. And then there's just flat out disobedience too. People just walking in disobedience, not wanting to be accountable, not wanting someone to care for their souls, not wanting to walk with other believers who not only encourage you, but may tell you, hey, you're living in sin in this area. Hey, you need to grow in this way. And there's just a misunderstanding of the universal church and the local church. So people think we are the church, so I don't got to go. But that has a practical expression in the local church. So I think there's a lot of reasons. But by and large, my prayer, I know my wife's prayer, would be for pastors to get back to preaching the word for itself and preaching the gospel, and then letting God's word determine our philosophy of ministry, how we go about shepherding the saints and preaching the gospel to sinners so that they can come to know the Lord and follow Jesus together with us.
Man, I love everything you're saying. It's like, I like the fact that you're saying that, as a Christian, if you're doing this as an individual, you don't have to. And
God doesn't want you.
God doesn't want us to.
You're good, you know?
And when Jesus left the 99, what did he do? Brought him back into the flock.
Into the flock. It's like, we're called to kind of like join the body. You're not on your own. You're not supposed to just be doing this.
What was the one thing in creation before the fall that God said wasn't good? Tell him, Ken.
That man should be alone.
Yep. It was one thing. before the sin into the world, that God looked down and said, it is not good that man should be alone. Genesis 2:18. So what did he do? He created Eve, created his wife. Then you have God choosing Abraham, the man through whom's descendants God would make a covenant with the world and the Messiah would come. But he chose Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the patriarchs. And then what happened? The nation of Israel came, and it was a covenant nation. And then the Lord Jesus came, the Messiah, through that nation. And what did he do? Lived perfect life, died a substitutionary sacrificial death, rose again on the third day, ascended back to heaven, sent down the Holy Spirit. Boom, the church is birthed. God has always been about saving people, but making a people. Man, always.
Man. I learned something every podcast. So, okay. So then essentially right now I'm seeing the full picture a little bit. I think I am. So the church, right, is the community of believers. Mm-hmm. It's the community of believers where, yeah, there's going to be people who are ahead of you who can teach you some things. Amen. There's going to be people that you meet up with to commune with, to grow with, to learn with. There's going to be opportunities to like do communion and you know, baptism and things like that. And it really just is like you joining the body and you're not on your own.
And something else I want to emphasize too, bro, is serving. First Peter and Ephesians and Romans all talks about the fact that every single believer has been gifted spiritually by the Holy Spirit. It's called the body of Christ, right? And the body is one, but it has many different parts, and it needs every single part to function. Not just pastors, not just the leaders. It needs every single member to function in service and evangelism and outreach, childcare and planning and this and that.
Yeah.
Every single believer has a gift of grace from the Holy Spirit that the church needs you to be a part of to serve for the greater good of the glory of Christ in this world by way of the proclamation of the gospel that edifies believers and saves sinners.
100.
And Paul uses the human body in his letters talking about the church, and he says, like, I mean, we can just paraphrase and say, if your foot was just by itself, it wouldn't be, not only would you be limping and not able to fully function the way that God has created you, your foot would be unfunctionable and dead. And likewise, the eye doesn't complain that it's not a finger, and mm-hmm. a finger doesn't complain that it's not a lung, because that's just not, that would be silly.
So if we even think about the metaphors that the Bible uses, that the church is the body of Christ, how can you be a member of the body and yet be like, nah, I'm a pinky on my own? No, you have to be a part of the body in a real visible, practical way. You know what I'm saying? And that's the local church, and it's beautiful.
And to the body analogy, if you're functioning as a lone like member, you're not really even functioning anymore. Like if you're a foot that's cut off a body, what
you're like a seed trying to go in the kitchen sink instead of in a fertilized field.
Man, and I think that just makes so much clear sense to me. Like you can't be you should not be a Christian that's on your own page.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this earlier, and back to the person that says, I love Jesus and I just need Jesus. I don't need his church. It's if Christ is the head of his body, the church, you just want like the head of Christ, but his body is what was broken for you. Like that should be the motivation to, I know those are two separate analogies kind of formed into one, but his body was broken for you, thus motivates us to become part of his body and gather together under his lordship.
And come down to that too, man. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the head. If we're going to love Jesus, he said, if you love me, then you'll keep my commandments. Obedience is the fruit of real love for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And if we're going to love Christ, we got to do what he says. And it's not doing what he says because we just have to. No, he's our shepherd. He's our savior. He knows what he's talking about. He has our best entrance. He wants our good, and our good is his glory, and he knows what he's talking about.
Man, I love it, though. And to be honest, like, as a natural kind of, like, rule-breaker type of guy, when I just kind of, like, hear, oh, like, it is in the Bible that you have to go to church, I'm like, but why? You know what I mean? Like,
That sounds like a work, and you understand the gospel enough to know that Jesus loves you because he has saved you, and yeah. not according to your works, but according to faith.
Yeah.
But that's, I think, the purpose of our conversation is to reframe it to what Jesus has said about his church and how he commands it, or how he commands us to be a part of it.
Yeah, and when we talk about the local church is where the gospel is preached. And even, you know, when the gospel is preached just by believers in the world, they're scattering, hopefully, from the gathered body of the local church. So, yes, we're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. He saves us when we repent and believe upon him. But now, upon belief, upon being saved, we are members of the body of Christ,
man,
which practically has its expression through a visible commitment to a local church. So this is a part of being a disciple, a part of obeying the Lord Jesus and growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ and in sanctification, becoming more like Christ. That's where the local church comes in.
Man.
And we're never going to graduate from hearing the gospel. We're never going to graduate from the gospel, and we're never going to get tired of, we're never going to get to a point spiritually where we don't need it, even weekly, even daily, I would say. But I think you might, it might be natural for someone to say, like, oh, well, I just read on my own, like, I know the gospel, like, I'm good. But sitting under the preached word every week, even if it's a text that you've been studying or that you've heard many, many, many times, till I'm gray in the hair, it will never, I will never tire of it edifying me, because we are very, very forgetful as human beings.
No, I'm almost really kind of, man, so I'm almost even thinking, like, I almost think it's somewhat a little arrogant, right, to just think,
absolutely,
yo, like, I don't need the church. I just got this. You know what I mean? Like, there gotta be.
But then we're surprised when they are struggling with anxiety and loneliness.
Exactly.
And I say that sympathetically. It really is sad. And I know even believers can struggle with that stuff
of who course,
are in
yeah.
the church. But I'm just saying, we're surprised when people are going through all these life hardships and confused and trying to find, you know, their purpose and all this stuff, but they're rejecting all the safeguards that Christ has laid out for us.
Yeah. No. Because the local church, it's the place where we obey this together. Look, Colossians 3:12-17. Says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. This is where the local church, this is what happens, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's the type of community everyone longs for. So to be a Christian and to say, nah, I don't need that to follow Jesus, is unbiblical. It's,
and how are you practicing those
maybe
things?
Flowing from ignorance, and you're not even able to obey, actually loving others, forgiving others, walking with others. This, the church is what we need. It's who we are, but it's practical expression. That's what we need for the good of our souls. And the Lord Jesus knew that. That's why he put it in his word. And that's why I say, the church don't need renovation and innovation. The church needs reformation. We need to recover what the scripture says, and to do what God says, and to be who God says we are to be as his called out ones.
Watch
in
American
the world
Gospel on Netflix.
For the sake of the world.
Wait, say that again?
I was going to say, watch American Gospel on Netflix, if it's still on there.
Oh, and I need to check that out.
It's really, really encouraging and helpful.
But so man, it's interesting. I love everything that you guys are saying, because it just... I genuinely am, like, learning from this experience.
Praise
so
God.
Like, so for one, right, it, what you guys are really saying is, okay, look, like, if let's say we're using a basketball analogy, we don't need more tricks, we need more fundamentals. Mm-hmm. We need more, you need to get fast, you need to jump higher, you need better ball handling, mm-hmm. skill, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the fundamentals. And I think that just makes sense to me. Like, and then when I guess to build on that too, I think that to empathize with those who may, you know, be against church, I think that where it really comes down to like a trust thing, right? So like with any like connection, there's an aspect of trust there. You know what I mean? And I think that sometimes it's for some, and myself included, it can be difficult to connect with people where you're putting yourself vulnerable to like the effects of that connection that are sometimes out of your control. And I think that when you're trying to control your life's narrative, it's easier to just say, look, I got this. You know what I mean? I'm gonna read the Bible on my own. I'm gonna do this on my own. I say it's a little arrogant too, because it's like, yo, like with everything, there's a community of people surrounded around that thing. And there's going to be someone who can help you and help you build. And also there's going to be people that, to your point of serving, you can contribute to a larger group outside 100%. Of yourself. So I'm just like, now that my perspective is being framed here, I just think that if you are someone who kind of says, yo, like, I'm kind of like, yo, I don't really need church as a believer, I think that it's important to then just say, okay, hold on. Like what you guys started with, maybe you just need to find a good church, a great church that you feel you can trust enough to then get under your leadership. And I love the fact that you said, yo, there's probably one in your city. Like, you don't have to go far to find one. It's just, so then what do you do? Okay, so then if somebody wants to find a church, or like if somebody's like, yo, like, all right, I'm open to this.
Yeah.
The churches that I've been recommended by my friends and family, I personally don't believe in the most. Mm-hmm. How does someone then go, like, do they look at the Yelp?
I think give them the...
Yeah, I think there's really good church searches. Like, there's a ministry called Nine Marks. Mm. And that ministry is Nine Marks of a Healthy Church. And it tells you what healthy churches is. So Nine Marks Church Search. You just type that in on Google or your phone or anything like that. You put your address in. It'll give you healthy churches in your area. Another option is the Master's Seminary Church Search. Master's Seminary is where I went for my graduate degree to be trained for gospel ministry and pastoral ministry. And it's a seminary that trains and equips people for pastoral ministry. And they have a church search where you put in your address and they'll tell you healthy churches in your area. And the Gospel Coalition is another website that has a church search where you can type in your address and healthy churches will pop up. But I think the first great place to go would be Nine Marks or the Master Seminary church search. You can really trust those resources.
A lot of times when we're recommending for someone in a different city, we'll look up on all those three and any that intersect the different websites, we're like, okay, that one must be.
So like, okay, you cross-reference. Okay, yeah. This one appeared two times. This one appeared. Yeah.
So that's where, you know, you talk about today, modern, the church is using technology with stuff like that. And there's resources for you to find healthy churches like that. And I think we got to take advantage of those, because that's a blessing from the Lord that we exist in a time in which we can get on the World Wide Web and type our address in and providentially see what good churches are around us. That's such a blessing.
And do stuff like this.
No, yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. And man, like, just the fundamentals. You know what I mean? Like, to be honest, I came in this thinking, yo, we need more fun. We need more entertainment. I hear what you guys are saying, but we need to innovate in that realm. But it's like, you can put icing on a cake, but if the cake's a bad tasting cake, it's a bad tasting cake. You know what I mean? And it sounds like it's really just you guys are just like grandma, grandpa, just like hey, no, I hear you on the icing, but we need to get that cake batter right. It's just the cake batter. Yeah. Yeah. So I love it. And yo, man, and to your point, there is opportunity for innovation, but it doesn't negate the fundamentals. Like, yeah, you can come up with a new way to get access to things, maybe a new way to do things a little differently. But at the end of the day, the fundamentals are the fundamentals, and they'll go across all the way.
Yeah, man. We center on the gospel. We center on the gospel. We center on God's word. We center on the person and work of the Lord Jesus. And everything else from there, it's secondary. It's tertiary. And, you know, we can have conversations of the aesthetics of the church gathering spot or how we're going to do announcements or something like that.
That's what I was going to say.
But that's not the essential heartbeat, substantive ministry of the church. Mm. Those things can't change. Those things are the same that Paul, Peter, John, James was doing. You know what I'm saying? Because that's commanded by God. And if God has given it, that's truth that lasts forever.